Miss Jill, when she was out here practicing this afternoon, she asked me if that song that she was singing would go along with the message like the song did this morning. And I had never heard the song before, and when I heard her sing it, I said absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, that may not mean a whole lot to most of you, but I had a whole nother sermon prepared that I was going to preach tonight, and I was telling some people before the service. I was a little bit aggravated because I had worked all week. I had spent a lot of time in that, and God just wouldn't let me preach it. This is a sermon that I've preached before, and really had worked up this new message and really wanted to preach it, and it was almost as if God was saying, you know what, let's get your prideful self out of the way. There's somebody here, I think, tonight. Now, I did have a hand in the songs that we sing. I'll give you that much. But that song, Miss Jill said she had prayed about it and felt like that's what God would have her to sing. And I'm telling you that it goes right along with what we're going to talk about tonight. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4 is where we are going to be looking at tonight in God's Word. And as I was thinking about and praying about the different things that God would have me to say and to preach to you tonight, God just would not let me get away from this thought that we're going to look at about a person with peace. And I was thinking about the last time that I preached, or the first time rather that I preached, I had an interesting story to share that involved two of God's wonderful creatures that fly in the air that had made their way into Brooke and I's apartment right after we had moved here. We recently moved back in July. We bought a house and moved not even a mile away from our apartment. And I'll have you know that a couple months ago, it wasn't the same two birds, because if you remember the story, those birds didn't make it out alive. But there was a bird that made its way in our home a couple months ago. We tried to get it on video, but thanks to some of you, we had the proper equipment this time to catch it and let it go freely, rather than beating it out with mops and brooms and whatever else we could find. So there is a live bird that has seen the inside of our house. I'm sure he's living to tell the story to his friends and not to come back in to that house. Philippians chapter number 4 is where we're going to be tonight. I want to read a passage of Scripture that is familiar to most of us. Most of us have read these verses before. I was telling someone, or was telling Brother Jay before the service, what I have to say tonight is probably not new to a lot of us. Most of us has probably heard or at least thought on these things before. But I think God, over the last couple of weeks and months in my own life, in the life of our church, in the life of our school, has orchestrated these things into motion. We know that none of us are free from going through trials or circumstances. Each and every one of us face a trial or circumstance of some capacity almost daily. Sometimes I think they hit a little more close to home. Sometimes I think maybe they come in more frequent spurts. They're more noticeable than they are in some other times. We know recently here associated with our church and school that God has been working in some very mysterious ways. And we don't ever understand, or sometimes we can't understand. But tonight I want to talk to you about having peace. That no matter what trial you find yourself in, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, how we handle that trial and circumstance is what makes all the difference. And the only way that we can do that, the only way that we can handle those trials and circumstances according to Scripture, is to be a person of peace. And tonight I want to look at some characteristics of a person that has peace. If you or I are going to go through trials and circumstances and come through them as we should, God never said that trials and circumstances weren't going to come. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says over and over again that trials and circumstances are put in our life to refine us, to make us a more pure Christian. We don't understand that. That doesn't make any sense to our human logic. But if we're going to come through those trials and circumstances and be more refined and be pure on this side of the circumstance than we were when we entered, we're going to have to be a person of peace. We're going to have to be a person that their life is characterized by peace. Let's read these verses together, and then we'll go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Philippians chapter 4, begin reading in verse number 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truths that we've been able to sing about tonight. God, that you are sovereign. Lord, that no matter what trial or what circumstance we're in, God, that you are piecing the pieces of our life together, Lord, to make a masterpiece, God, that we could never understand or that we could never comprehend. Lord, we go through different things in our life from time to time, and sometimes it seems, God, that they come at a more frequent rate. But Lord, we know that you were never caught by surprise. Lord, we know that nothing that we encounter ever stumped you, Lord, ever made you question why. Lord, even though we may question why, Lord, we know that you're in control. Tonight, Lord, I pray that from your word, you would show us these characteristics of peace and what it looks like if we're to have peace in our trials and circumstances and how we can have that in our life. Lord, I pray that you will get nothing but the highest honor and glory from the remainder of this service. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. It's important for us to understand what the book of Philippians was about. We know it was one of Paul's epistles. We know it was one of his letters to the people there at the church at Philippi. The book of Philippians is a little bit different from many of Paul's other books. We've been studying Romans in Sunday school, and we know that Romans is full of doctrine and things that needed to be set in place in order for the church to begin. We also know that Philippians was not like that. Philippians was not a doctrinal letter. Paul was merely writing to these people to express his love and gratitude towards the people here at the church of Philippi. But there was one potential problem that we see up at the beginning of chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. Paul introduces us to two women who apparently, most scholars believe, and doing some research, found out that these women had had some type of argument, some type of quarrel between them, that Paul knew that if it flourished, if it continued, if it were to grow, that it would cause nothing but problems in the church at Philippi. Paul understood that he had to talk to these people and get them to realize that they had to get their own lives in check, make sure that they had everything in line that they needed to stop this problem where it needed to be. Paul, basically, in a nutshell, is telling them, if you'll add these characteristics of peace to your life, if you'll make sure that everything is in line with you, then the church is going to flourish. We looked at that a little bit this morning in the book of Romans. We looked at personally, how you and I have a personal job. We're to sacrifice ourselves, but we're also to renew our mind. And then once we get that in check, Paul told us that we can go on and we can decide what's going to go on in our community of believers, what gifts you and I are going to be able to use to further the kingdom of God. And then at the end of chapter 12 in Romans, Paul went on to tell us that we have a duty to our Christian brothers and sisters to make sure that everything between us and them is okay. Paul said, if they hurt, we hurt. If they cry, we cry. But Paul also reminded us that we also have that duty to a lost and dying world. Not that we go out and we get involved in the same things that they're involved in, but remember, we are called to be in the world and not of the world. Paul's saying the same thing here to these people. If you'll get your lives in check, if you'll make sure that everything is all right with you first, and make sure that you put this piddly argument behind you, move on from it, and make sure that you're living peaceably with all men, he said, then we can move on. But Paul understood and realized that if that were not the case, if these two women were allowed to continue on with their arguing and their quarrel was to get even larger, Paul understood the damage that it could do to the church. Paul knew that these ladies were very influential in this church and that he must stop the conflict early so as not to disturb the stability of this church. As believers, we must get along with others for stability's sake of ourselves and the church, despite the circumstances or hardships we find ourselves in. As we get into this passage a little more tonight, we're going to look and we're going to see that, you know what, everybody's going through something. And when you're going through a trial or when you're going through a circumstance, it's very easy to just turn inwardly and to just care about number one. And as long as number one's okay, then we feel like that everything else is going to fall in place. The Bible is reminding us tonight that that is not the case. We have to put others' needs above our own. Paul is reminding us that in order for us to live as peacefully when we are in the midst of our trial and circumstance, yes, we have to take care of us. Yes, we have to make sure that things are okay in our life. But don't forget that just because you're in the middle of a trial and circumstance doesn't mean that everybody else is living a life of roses that day. Somebody else is going through the same thing or potentially the same trial that you are. Having peace and living joyously are vital in one's spiritual stability. It is important to understand that the trial that was faced in this chapter was a mere argument. And I'll give you that. I don't want to read into the text tonight. I don't want to say anything more than there. Here it was just an argument. Now, to those people, that was a trial. We may read it today and say, it was just a mere argument between two ladies. Let's read it for what it is and move on. But it was a trial in that church. It was something that Paul knew that if it continued to flourish, that could potentially damage the stability of that church. You and I go through trials and circumstances tonight, and to the outside world, or to even other Christians many times, they may not seem very big. But to us, those trials hurt. To us, those trials are affecting our life. But we need to remember that God has put us there for a reason. And if tonight, if we will take these characteristics of a person with peace, God says, I can use that trial and I can refine it in your life. Many times in the midst of our trials, it may seem as if no one truly understands, that no one cares. We've even said that. I've personally said that from time to time in my life. You go through a trial and you just want the pity party that day, and you said, you know what? No one cares. No one has any care for me. No one cares what I'm going through. Nobody cares. Remember what we talked about this morning. As believers, we're commanded to care. If you see another believer that's struggling, if you see another believer that's going through something, if you know of something that has taken place in someone's life, the Apostle Paul reminded us in Romans chapter 12 that when they hurt, we hurt. Why? Because we're adopted into this family together by faith. If you're here tonight and you're a saved child of God, you're my brother, you're my sister in Christ. And just as if I knowingly know that my biological brother or sister is out hurting or out, you know, just having a hard time, I'm going to do everything in my power to do what? To uplift them and to care for them and to meet their needs. That's our responsibility as believers tonight. No matter the situation, the sovereign God of heaven cares and has revealed in his living word how we can know peace. We just sang that in our song tonight. No matter the situation, God is fitting all the pieces of our life together. But if he's going to use us, if he's going to use the trials and circumstances that we find ourselves in to their fullest potential, we have to be a person of peace. And so tonight I want to look at three things or three attributes that are given to a person that has peace. The first one we find right there in verse 4. We'll read verse 4 again. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Firstly, tonight, we see that the person of peace is going to convey joy in all situations. No matter what situation comes, no matter what trial you find yourself in, no matter what happens, the good, the bad, the ugly, the in-between, the person of peace is going to convey joy in all situations. MacArthur notes that the verse expresses the theme of this entire book, that the believer is to be always rejoicing in the Lord. The verb form that is used there is a continual verb, which means that it's a constant state of being, that as a believer we are to always be rejoicing in the Lord no matter what situation comes. We're going to find out in a minute. We can't wait until we get in the middle of trials or circumstances to begin rejoicing, because then what happens? All we're focusing on is when God, or when our life is bad, we think that God's good. God's good all the time. No matter whether you're down in the dumps or whether you're up on a mountaintop experience, we can't wait until the valley comes to begin rejoicing. It is a continual state that should be present in the life of each and every believer. The word always there literally means at all times, no matter the situation, no matter what we find ourselves in, we're to always be rejoicing in the Lord. If you look at that verse again, the word rejoice is used twice. This is used for emphasis to show how important joy should be in our lives. A believer, a child of God, should be characterized by joy. And we're going to look at here towards the end of our message tonight that that's what should set us apart from the rest of the world. When the world goes through trials, or when the world goes through circumstances, or when somebody in the world, their world is turned upside down, unfortunately for them, they don't really have anywhere to turn. But you and I as believers know tonight that when our world gets turned completely upside down and we don't know forward from backward and we don't know which way to turn, we know that there's a God of all peace. There's a sovereign God of heaven that is just as sovereign on the ocean floor as he is in the mountain. And he's working something for our good. At that point in time, we may not be able to see it. At that point in time, we may not understand. We don't have to be able to understand. But if we wait until the trial and circumstances to begin conveying joy, the Apostle Paul is saying, you don't have it. you're not a person that has true peace in your life that is talked about in verse number 7, because a person of peace is going to convey joy in all situations. This repetition presupposes a reality that it was not easy to be joyful. The Philippians needed to rise above their circumstances. Paul used that repetition there to remind them and to show them that, you know what? You're in the middle of a trial of circumstance. Understand, for them, we're still talking about the argument that took place at the beginning of the chapter. But to them, that was a real trial. To them, that was a real pickle that they found themselves in. And Paul is reminding them, you have to rise above your circumstances. That's not easy. Paul was reminding these two ladies, hey, you know what? Move on. Rise above your circumstances. Keep joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And just live your life. If those two ladies had waited, if we wait until we're in the middle of our trials and circumstances, we're not able to rise above our circumstances. The only way that we are able to view a trial and see that God is bringing us through it for some greater good is to have joy before we ever go into that trial. As believers, we should continually convey joy because of two things. Number one, because we're commanded in Scripture to rejoice. There in verse number 4, we read it. It is an imperative. It is used as a command. But secondly, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 13, the Bible says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." As believers, we are commanded to rejoice no matter the circumstances. Why? Because of the glory that shall be revealed in us. We don't understand today. You may be in the middle of a trial or circumstance tonight, and you don't see any way out. You don't know the future. You don't know what the future holds. You're scared. You're hurting. You seem as if nobody cares. But if you're a believer that is conveying joy in all situations because of the commandment, we understand that trials are sent to shape us. Trials are sent to mold us into what God would have us to be, fitting those pieces of our life together that we don't understand. And as we're going to look at in a moment, it's okay that we don't understand, because we know someone who does. We know who holds the future. We know the God who is writing our story as we speak. And the trial that we may find ourselves in is part of that story that fits into his plan that we may not understand. J. Vernon McGee said regarding this verse, "Regardless of the day, whether it is dark or bright, whether it is difficult or easy, whether it brings problems or temptations, we are commanded to rejoice." Tomorrow morning when we wake up, we have no idea what the day holds. This week, we have no idea what the week holds. According to some, there's going to be some snow. But we have no idea what's going on. But no matter what the day holds, no matter what the week holds, we are commanded as believers to rejoice. Whether the day be dark, whether it would be bright, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, we are commanded to rejoice. Not only are we to convey joy in all situations because of the command that is given, but also because of the blessings that come from this. Isaiah chapter 61, and verse number 10, the Bible says, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels." On the surface, this verse in Isaiah speaks pretty much of salvation, but once you begin to study it out, you understand the idea of protection that is going on here, and that God has promised to meet each and every one of our needs. Look down at verse 19 of this same chapter. Verse 19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." As believers, we should have no problem conveying joy in all situations, because God is going to meet our needs when we remain faithful. You find yourself in the middle of a trial and circumstance. You don't know which way to go. You don't know which way to turn. If we're conveying joy, not only because we're commanded to, but because we understand there's a greater blessing that is coming from that trial and circumstance. If we put present day vision on and we're just concerned and consumed with what is going on in our life at this present time and this trial that we find ourselves in, we're missing out on the blessing of God's protection that is to come. God promises, and even in this same chapter, that he is going to meet each and every one of our need. Tonight, I know a big one that some of us may face from time to time, and you hear about it and you see about it in our country each and every day. people are in financial straits and they don't know which way to turn, which way to get out of, can I remind you tonight that the Bible said that God is going to supply all your needs if we remain faithful? Maybe you went to the doctor last week and you got some information that you weren't expecting. I'm grateful tonight that we trust and that we know the great physician. That even when the doctors may be stumped, even when the doctors say there's nothing else we can do, God has promised in His Word to supply each and every one of our needs. Not only does the person of peace convey joy in all things, but secondly, he communicates gentleness towards others. Look at verse 5 there. Verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." That word moderation there literally means gentleness or one sweet reasonableness. It has been said that moderation means meekness under provocation, readiness to forgive injuries, equity in the management of business, candor in the judging of the characteristics of others, sweetness of disposition, and the entire government of the passions. In other words, you and I as believers, if we're going to be a person that is characterized, that our life is characterized by peace, we have to be able to convey joy in all situations. No matter what trial or circumstance we find ourselves in, we know that if we are conveying joy before we get into that trial, when we're in that trial, and after we get out of it, we're going to see the future blessings that God has for us. But secondly, we see that we are to communicate gentleness towards others. Our gentleness towards others should be revealed to them in two ways. Number one, by our actions. There again, we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school this morning. The actions that you and I are to have to other believers as well as to the world around us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Our actions toward others should stem from a heart of love, thereby revealing our moderation towards them. Now, that's not easy. That goes back to what we talked about this morning, that it comes into a renewing of your mind. It's a choice that we have to make to renew our mind, to conform to the things of God, to the things of the future, to the things of which are to come, rather than the present day. Because presently, our society tells us to do what? To go out, and if someone wrongs you, to wrong them back. Fight evil with evil. But Paul told us this morning, we don't fight evil with evil. As Christians, we are to fight evil with good. Things in our life that we are pressed to understand and we are pressed to conform to. Society tells us revenge is yours. You do what you have to do to make things right. The Bible told us this morning that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The Lord has the ability. The Lord is going to take care of you, as we already saw. But Paul told us this morning what happens when you don't fight evil with evil, when you fight evil with good, when your actions reveal your gentleness or your moderation towards them, it causes that person's conscience to be pricked. It causes them to think, you know what? I don't know what they have, but I just wronged them. And maybe they really wronged you. And because you're a person of peace, because you're able to convey joy in all situations, because you communicate gentleness towards others, you were able to just pass it by. Maybe to give them a pat on the back and say, you know what, I'm sorry that you wronged me, but I love you and God loves you and I want you to know that I've forgiven you. It causes them to do what? It causes them to think. It causes them to say, you know what, I don't know what he's got, but I want that. Our actions can be one of the best means of testimony that you and I have to a lost and dying world. Many times, some of us are the only Bible that the lost and dying world is ever going to read. We don't expect a lost man to go out and to pick up God's word and to just read it. Now, if God has been working on his heart, if God has been speaking to him, he may seek God out in that way. But it always starts generally with an action or something that is said or done by a believer. Our actions should communicate gentleness towards others. But hear me tonight, not only should our actions communicate gentleness to the outside world, but it should also communicate gentleness towards those of us that are in this room tonight. I know many times as Christians, things happen and people get upset, and people get their feelings hurt, and things go the way that we don't plan. But remember, here tonight as a child of God, if you're here and you're saved, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. And I know from time to time growing up and even as adults, you're going to get in arguments or rifts with your biological brothers and sisters. And I know things are going to happen even in the church of God where people are going to get upset and people are going to get their feelings hurt. But if we decide before we ever get to that situation that our actions are going to communicate gentleness towards them, that no matter what is thrown at us, that we're going to decide to let it just roll off our back. Now, not that we let people run over us, to let them know that you're okay, that things are right, that you've already forgiven them for the wrong that they've done to you. Then that's what matters. Our actions should communicate gentleness towards them. Not only our actions, but also, and here's the big one tonight, our words. Turn, if you will, with me in your Bible to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. James chapter 3, we'll read verses 9 and 10. It says, "Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be." As seen by James, we should not let our words curse men who are made after the likeness of men, which is every human. This is inside the church and outside the church. There again, we looked at this a little bit this morning where God said that there is an idea, or God said under the inspiration, or Paul said under the inspiration of God, that basically the idea is that we are to have a genuine love and care for each and every person. Now, I tell you like I told my Sunday school class like this. I tell my students here at the school this all the time. God has commanded me to love you, but not to like you. Now, they take that a little bit more personal than most people do because they're in, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th grade. But that's what happens. It's the same idea. God has commanded us to love each and every being. Naturally, by our flesh, we're not going to get along with everybody. Our flesh is not going to match up with each and every person. But if we have a genuine love for them, if our words are communicating gentleness towards them, if our words are not ripping them down, if our words are not tearing them apart, God says that is a person that is a person that is characterized by peace, both believer or non-believer. You and I as Christians don't have any business tearing down the outside world that don't know Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Yes, we need to tell them that their sin is wrong. Yes, we need to get them to the point where they understand and they realize that there's only one choice that they have in life, and that is to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by faith. But not only the outside world, our words should communicate gentleness to those that you see each and every Sunday, each and every Wednesday, those that you're involved in with work who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We need to be careful and watch our words with them as well. If we don't have peace, we could potentially do damage to the church. That's what Paul was admonishing these believers up here in Philippians, the two ladies that we were introduced to at the beginning of chapter 4. Paul said, if you're not living peaceably, you could potentially damage the church. I remember last year, anytime I'd come into school, the students, they'd tell me from time to time, "Mr. Taylor, I've never seen you, or if you have a bad day, we've never seen you ill. You never wear your feelings on your sleeve." And I thought, "Oh, hey, you know, I have my feelings well, that's good, and everything's hunky-dory." This year, it's been a little bit different. There have been days when I've come in, and I'm just ready to pull my hair out, and I just, as try as I may not, I walk through the door of that classroom, and it's written all over my face that he's had a bad day. And you see, you walk in and you see this color drain from the kid's face, and they're just sitting there like bumps on a log. Do they dare speak? Do they dare raise their hand? And they, when they begin to ask me questions like, "Mr. Taylor, are you having a bad day?" I remember, ouch. Last year, it was, "Mr. Taylor, we don't know when you're having a bad day." This year is, "Are you having a bad day?" And God really used that to work in my life and say, you know what? Our actions and our words speak volumes about who we are. We may be in the middle of the worst trial or the worst circumstance that you've ever found yourself in. And that's okay. Remember, God placed you there. But just because we're in the middle of that trial or that circumstance does not give us the reason to go out and to live a life that is contrary to God's principles when using our actions and our words. Now, does that mean that you're not able to mourn, that you're not able to express those feelings? No, absolutely not. But the Bible speaks numerous times about doing those things in the right attitude and in the right way. And who are we to go out in the middle of our trial, in the middle of our circumstance, and just snap at someone else. Because remember, they very well could be in the same trial and the same circumstance that you are. The Apostle Paul is reminding us here that if we are going to be a person that's life is characterized by peace, we have to communicate gentleness towards others in our actions and in our words. Communicating gentleness, even during our trials, exemplifies to the uttermost Christ-like behavior. We know that if Jesus Christ were living among us today, and we know that if he were involved in a trial or circumstance, he would not go against the things that were mentioned in his word. When we go through a trial or circumstance, and we can still exemplify peace, we can still use the right actions and the right words to show the love of Christ in our life, we're doing nothing but exemplifying Christ with our life and exalting him and causing the unsaved to look at our life and say, you know what? I don't understand why in the world. I know what is going on in his life. But yet he is still by his actions and by his words conveying joy in all situations. He's communicating gentleness towards others. And then finally tonight, the person of peace, the person whose life is characterized by peace, exemplifies confidence in his prayers. And when Miss Jill said something tonight about singing about prayer, I knew that tonight, if for nobody else other than me, that God wants to remind us that the person of peace, the person who is truly peaceful, the person whose life, when he's in the middle of a trial or circumstance and doesn't know which way to turn, the person who is characterized by peace is going to display confidence in his prayers. Verse 6 there, we'll read it again. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." That phrase there, "be careful for nothing, literally means to not be anxious. The word supplication means, or is the idea of continuance in earnest prayer. We can be confident in our prayers knowing that God is going to do two things. Number one, that God is faithful to hear our prayers. 1 John 5:14 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." And from time to time, when I'll take prayer requests or people will ask me to pray for something, I think on this idea where, you know what? God wants us to verbalize our requests. God wants us to make our requests known unto him. But my God, the sovereign God that we sang about, he already knew. Before that trial or before that circumstance came, before we ever uttered those words of that prayer request, God already knew, and get this, God was already seeking to work that desire out according to his will. But not only can we be confident in our prayer knowing that God is faithful to hear our prayers, but we know that we can also be confident knowing that God is able to answer our prayer. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22 says, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do these things that are pleasing in his sight." Now, this doesn't mean that God is going to answer everything according to how we see fit. It'd be great if that's how it happened. You know, "Lord, here's my list of things that I need done today." You give it to him, and he checks them off as he gets them done. That's not the idea here. The idea that I want you to remember tonight is that God is able to answer every request that you bring before him. It may not fit in his will, but he has the ability to do it. Now, if it fits in his will, the Bible says here that whatsoever we ask, we will receive of him. John MacArthur wrote a quote on this very verse here. And when I read it the first time, I read over it, and I didn't even want to underline it or highlight it or do anything, because I was like, this quote, if he didn't write it for anybody else in the universe, this guy wrote it for me. And it says, "Anxious, fretful, and worried believers are inherently unstable and vulnerable to trials and temptations." Catch this. "Anxiety is both a violation of Scripture and totally unnecessary." Tonight, you and I may find ourselves in the middle of a trial or circumstance, and we have no idea what's going to come out of it. We have no idea why God has us here. And if you're like me, guess what you're doing about it? You are worrying the snot out of yourself about it. I'm a worrier by nature. This idea of this whole flashlight philosophy where God just wants to show me the very next footstep that I'm supposed to take, that drives me crazy because that's not my nature. I want to know what's coming. Lord, take that spotlight out. Take every spotlight you got and show me from here till kingdom come and let me know how the rest of my life is going to live out. But that's not the way God works. And John MacArthur is reminding us tonight that if we're anxious, if we're fretful, if we're worried about the situations that we're in, we are unstable and more vulnerable to trials and temptations. And I want to invite you to take that and to study it out through God's word of believers that were, when they were worried, when they were anxious, when they were unorganized with what was going on in their life, they had no idea, but they were worrying, they weren't conveying joy in all situations, they weren't living a life of peace, trusting that God knew best. It was at those times where they were vulnerable and more susceptible to temptation and to falling. And when I read that, it was an eye-opener to me. Because if you look back in my life personally on times where I was worried about situations, where I was worried about things that I didn't know how to control, it was at those times that guess who was right around the corner looming? It was always Satan. Temptation was always there when you're vulnerable, when you're more susceptible to it, when you're allowing yourself to worry about the situation you find yourself in. Anxiety is both a violation of Scripture and is totally unnecessary. We're commanded to not worry. The Bible tells us that anxiety, if you have worry about things that are going on in your life, it is a violation of Scripture and is totally unnecessary because the sovereign God that we sang about tonight knows all about it. He's putting those pieces together. And for us to express worry, for us to express genuine worry over an extended period of time, proves and shows our lack of trust in Him. Once one has recognized and applied these three characteristics to his life, he will experience the peace of God that is spoken of in verse 7. Read verse 7 with me again, if you will. It says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It is important that the believer understand that not only should we have peace towards others, but we should also have a peace knowing that God is able to meet our every need, as He has proven to us time and time again. And ask the question, do we truly believe that our trials have taken or have not taken God by surprise? I want you to be reminded of that tonight. No matter where you find yourself in, it didn't catch God by surprise. When we realize that, that screams our confidence in Him, that we know that He was not surprised by anything that has happened or taken place in our life. And why don't we live this way? These characteristics must be present before our trials ever come. And if they are, we may not understand, but we can have the peace of God, which passes all understanding, that is mentioned of in verse 7. We're not going to understand it all. Sometimes I wish we could, and then sometimes I'm glad that God in His infinite wisdom knows better than to let me know what is going on and why I'm being placed in this trial at this time in my life or why I was placed in that one. And I believe when we get to heaven, God's going to show us that future reward and say, you know what? You remember that trial that you went through on earth where you had no idea and you didn't see any way out and you didn't know why God placed you in that situation, but you remained confident in your prayers. You continued to communicate gentleness towards others. You continued to convey joy in all situations. He said, because you remained faithful, this is what I had for you. This is why I brought you through that trial. I want you to listen to the lyrics of a song. And the name of this song is called Just Be Held. And the first time I heard it, it was one of those things I really didn't think anything of it. And then I began to look for it and began to listen over and over again. And this song has become sort of an anthem for me. That no matter what trial or circumstance that I'm in, if I'm on my knees, if I'm in prayer, then many times that's us trying to hold on to God and make sure that we're there. But remember, if we're doing those things before that trial comes, there's not really a time in our life where then we have to jump and hold on because we've already been holding on. But I want you to listen to the lyrics of this song. It says, "Hold it all together. Everybody needs you strong, but life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. When you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. So when you're on your knees and your answer seems so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart, but it's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you'll know I always have and I always will. Not a tear is wasted. In time you'll understand. I'm painting beauty with the ashes. Your life is in my hands. Lift your hands, lift your eyes. In the storm is where you'll find me. And where you are, I'll hold your heart. Come to me, find your rest in the arms of the God who won't let go. God's not going to let go. God's going to hold us. But we have to have these characteristics in our life of a person that is their life is characterized by peace. So when it comes to that time when we're on our knees, when we just need to be held, it's not something new for us. We've been doing it the whole time. Because if we begin to start in that trial and circumstance to put these characteristics into motion, guess what's going to happen? We're going to begin to wonder if God still does love us. But if we've had these things in our life from beginning to end, we begin to look at the cross and we begin to see and understand that God always has loved us and God always is going to love us. No matter what trial we face, no matter what situation we may encounter. So tonight, I want to ask you, as a believer, maybe you're here tonight and you're not a child of God, then understand that that's the peace that you need to take care of first. When you get that peace that passes all understanding and you know that your sins are forgiven, you've been adopted into the family of God by faith, that is the utmost peace that you will ever experience. But when you know and that you understand that you are saved and you are a child of God, do you convey joy in all situations? No matter what trial comes, no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, do you communicate gentleness towards others through your actions, through your words? Whether you're in a circumstance or not, that's a command for all time. And then do you exemplify confidence in your prayers? Do you trust and know that no matter what situation you're in, it didn't catch God by surprise? God just wants to pick you up and to hold you and to let you know that He's loved you from the beginning to the end. You look at the cross and you see His love for you has never been any stronger than it is right now in your life. Tonight, it would be impossible for me to know what each and every one of us are going through. I know what I have going on in my life. I know what some of you have going on in your life. But I do know that God would not let me get away from this message this week. Through different songs, through different scenarios, through different things that were going on, God time and time again put this message in front of me. I feel like for somebody tonight, God wants to remind you that He's still there. God wants to remind you that He still loves you. But God also wants to remind you that now the ball's in your court. There's something that you or I have to do as believers. We have to make sure these characteristics are present in our life in order for us to be a person that lives peaceably with all men, in order for us to know that when we get in the middle of a trial or circumstance, that we can make it because we have these characteristics present in our life. I want to invite you tonight to bow your heads and close your eyes. Tonight, many different things, many different areas, many different avenues that God may have used this in your life. No doubt, there are people in this room tonight who are going through a trial, who are going through a circumstance, who have maybe some idea of what God is trying to do. And maybe there's some of you in here tonight that said, Blake, I have no idea why God has placed me in this predicament of my life. Can I ask you tonight, do you have these three characteristics present? Are they there tonight? Or have you waited till you got in the middle of this trial or circumstance and now you don't know what to do? Whether you're in the middle, whether you're not going to a trial circumstance, or whether you're just coming out of one, God wants you to be ready. So when that trial and that circumstance comes, that even though it may catch you by surprise, we can have the confidence to know that it didn't catch Him by surprise. I'm going to invite you to stand tonight. The opportunity to be in your house again. Lord, we thank you for this message, Lord, how you've used it in my life this week, and God, and how I know, no doubt, you've used it in the life of someone tonight, not because of anything I've said, Lord, but because your word is powerful and you've promised that it will never return void. Lord, be with this invitation time now. May your name be
get the highest praise from everything that happens. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you need to come tonight, I want to invite you, as Brother Jay sings, to make your way to the altar.
Serve such a great God, even though He allows us to go through difficult situations, even though sometimes He places us in those difficult situations, we have the promise that He's doing it all for our good. And on top of that, as He's putting us through those times, He offers us His peace. His peace is kind of that hedge of protection around our hearts and our minds that just gives us the strength to endure the trial. It doesn't remove us from the situation, but it does give us the strength. I love what he says in verse 13 of that chapter when he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The truth is that verse gets misused a lot, but it's really talking about difficult situations. The truth is, as a believer, I can go through anything that this world, this life can throw at me. Not because I'm a strong person, but because of Jesus Christ. What an amazing truth. Lord, we come to you tonight, and God, we are so thankful for the peace that you do extend to us. The peace that your word tells us passeth all understanding. God, when the world looks at us and they can't understand, God, how we continue to go on, continue to serve you, continue to be faithful, God, continue to have joy as we looked at tonight, we know it's through your peace that you give to us. And God, I pray that right now for all of us, even, Lord, if we are not facing a trial, God, I pray we would stay very near to you. God, so that when that trial comes, God, we'll be prepared, we'll be ready, we'll be strong. God, our faith and our support system will not crumble because it's not in ourselves, it's not in the world around us, it's in you. Well, thank you so much for the truth we're reminded of tonight. God, we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Blake, for that reminder. Good truths. Amen.